Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Welcome along for some more dementia talk and music. My guest this week is cognitive health coach Lindsay Byrne. We're going to be talking about how it's possible to reverse the symptoms of Alzheimer's using natural approaches.
UK Health Radio Podcast is the world's leading health conversation starter. 47 experts showcase all options of sickness prevention through lifestyle changes such as nutrition, reducing stress, sleep, breathing correctly, spending time in nature, meditation, fasting, as well as cultivating an attitude of gratitude and mindfulness. Our experts inform and animate you to take responsibility for your own health and well-being. You can choose from 42 weekly podcast episodes and be an active part of your health freedom. UK Health Radio Podcast, here for you and your well-being.
Here on The D Word, well, my guest is cognitive health coach Lindsay Byrne, who firmly believes it's possible to reverse some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease by using natural approaches to address the root cause of the illness. So how did Lindsay start looking at this area of work?
Well, thank you, Pete, and thank you for having me on. It's a real pleasure to be here. This might be a little bit of a long story, but my mum has Alzheimer's. And if I go back, I don't know, I guess 5 or 6 years ago, we noticed her memory was getting a little bit dodgy. And I immediately Googled, and, you know, the first sites that come up are the NHS and the Alzheimer's Society, and it just says there's no cure. Since then, I've found if you really scroll down, there's lots of things you can do for prevention, lots of lifestyle things, but it's not kind of right up there at the fore. So I gave up because I guess it fulfilled my own view, what I thought I was going to find. And we just watched it. It didn't progress particularly fast until the pandemic. And just before the pandemic, I don't think it was it might have been partly the stress of the pandemic. But before the pandemic, my dad had a bit of a health crisis and we were looking to move them into a retirement village. And I think the stress of the move didn't help. And the pandemic hit in the middle of the move. So that was a nightmare, stress for all of us, all concerned. And I don't know whether it was the stress of that and the move. They'd lived in the same house for 60 years, so it was a big upheaval. Or whether just that change of environment and her having to talk about new things, and if it just stood out more. But anyway, I thought, wow, this is getting worse. Anyway, pandemic was quite stressful for me. I won't go into loads of that, but I didn't handle it well, and I did put on some weight, and I went on a diet forum. I knew what I was doing. I knew what diet works for me. It's a keto diet. And I went on this forum just to get some accountability and some support. And there was a guy on there who looked very thin. I clearly didn't need to be dieting for weight loss. And at one point he just sort of announced that he was doing it to reverse his symptoms of Alzheimer's. And I was just blown away. I was like, what? I'm sorry, you have to tell me more. He was really generous with his time. He chatted with me, still online, but outside the forum. We had a proper chat about it. And he told me his story, that he had started noticing himself, the symptoms, in his mid-30s. So that's heartbreaking. He developed lots of little strategies to try and hide it so he could continue working. But by his mid-40s, the strategies weren't enough anymore and it was becoming obvious and he had to give up his quite high-powered job. And I was meeting him in his mid-50s and he'd just pretty much reversed his symptoms. He wouldn't say completely. Within like 3 years, he'd been doing just mainly the keto diet. So I think he's very lucky in retrospect, given all that I've learned since. But basically, he sent me loads of research and video links to videos and links to books and things. And I just spent like the next whole weekend just watching videos, reading the books that had turned up cover to cover. Couldn't stop, and immediately got my mom on this protocol, and she is doing so much better. She won't do the whole protocol. So I don't think we're ever going to get back, you know, as good as this guy I was talking to. But she's so much better. She, before the protocol, she'd got to the point where she absolutely knows what's going on and can hold a conversation, but then she couldn't remember something we'd just said 15 minutes ago. And at the worst, I would say she'd started getting quite withdrawn and wasn't engaging well with conversation. And it was hard, you know, it was like getting blood from a stone trying to get any conversation out of her. But now she, unprompted, remembers things from weeks ago. Like, she doesn't see my husband very often. And something that really stood out to me, she saw him 3 weeks apart, and he'd been talking about his parsnips the first time. He grows parsnips. He grows all sorts. He's got an allotment. And she just totally unprompted asked how his parsnips were going. So she remembers things from weeks ago. I mean, she still forgets things, but she remembers things from weeks ago. She's much more engaged. And yeah, I'm really pleased, even though she won't do the whole protocol. I've kind of reset my expectations to, if we can just keep her in this state, then I'm happy.
My guest this week here on The D Word is cognitive health coach Lindsay Byrne, who worked with clients to attempt to reverse the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease using the RE02 protocol.
So, yeah, basically, since then, I have found there are quite a few doctors, and they seem all to be in America, who have researched the causes, first of all. And this is going back 20, 30 years, looking at the individual causes. And they're actually finding, you know, they're finding that you can't say someone has Alzheimer's. That's not a diagnosis. That is a description of some symptoms. It's Alzheimer's due to what? And they're finding all of these root causes that can be myriad. You know, it can be toxins. It can be hormone disruption. This is why they're saying more women get it than men, double the amount of women than men. It can be nutrient deficiencies, which could just be from a poor diet. So let's face it, I mean, I'm not blaming anyone for their diet. These days, food is so highly processed. And even if you're eating good, natural, whole foods, they're probably, if they're not organic, they've probably been, you know, sprayed with pesticides and all sorts. But also, you know, the soil is so depleted. So, you know, you have to eat so much more of it to get the nutrients. But also, in the example of my mom, we found that genetically, we did a gene test as well as some blood tests. We found that she's got some genetic SNPs that mean she doesn't process A or B vitamins very well. So we're supplementing. So the protocol can be that simple. It can be dietary change. There's a lot more to it than that. I mentioned the keto diet. It is about the keto diet. There is an element of fasting involved, which I don't want to sound too bad. It's just like having a longish fast overnight. So having 12 hours fast overnight. And looking at all the other factors as well, all the other lifestyle factors. So making sure you're moving, making sure you are getting sleep. And sleep and dementia seem to go hand in hand. So trying to deal with that. If you are stressed, managing that stress better. Relationships, you know, everything around your lifestyle, getting it absolutely tipped up. Did that answer your question? I went off on a tangent there, I feel.
Oh, no, that does. I mean, what amazes me is, you know, obviously you've seen the results with the gentleman that kicked all this off. Yeah. I mean, how widely known is, you know, all this information?
It is pitifully badly known in this country. I mean, I think it's pitifully badly known worldwide. Obviously, there is this movement in America. The doctor who developed this, Dr. Dale Bredesen, there are others as well. This is just the protocol that I follow and I've been trained in. So there's plenty of doctors out there doing their own research and finding very similar findings and similar protocols to improve things. and similar sort of testing to establish the root causes. But Dr. Dale Bredesen, the last time I saw a count, it said that they trained 2,000 doctors worldwide. But I'm going to say, I bet most of those are in America. Here in the UK, I've found three, and there's one particularly that I work with. So no, not very well known. And this is why it's such a joy to be on your programme, because, you know, the better we can get this message out there and let people know that there is hope and that there is something that you can do. And at very least, you can halt the progression. But let's hope for and, you know, work at doing as much of the protocol as you can to reverse the symptoms.
Do you think as a society we're too easily dragged down the medical route? We kind of grow up with the I've got a headache, take a pill. Instead of looking at the root cause of things.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I really, really do. I mean, I've never in my life really ever liked taking pills. And so I've always, you know, if I've had to go to the doctor for something, I've always said, oh, is there something I can do myself? Is there something I should be eating or not eating? Is there some exercise I can do? And, you know, you talk to your doctor about that stuff and, you know, they tend to not have much of an idea. They're not giving you anything that you can do yourself. And it is always the pill route. But yeah, I think, you know, that's our society. I mean, we are really lucky to have the NHS and for it to be free at point of use. And, you know, if you've got an acute illness, you know, if you've got an infection, you want some antibiotics. If you've broken your leg, you want them to set it. I mean, it's brilliant for that. But I think for chronic illnesses, so many of them have contributing factors that are lifestyle related. I mean, look at diabetes now. I know this is about dementia, but look at diabetes, for example. You know, it is well accepted now that diet and lifestyle factors can totally reverse that. Why aren't we looking at that for more, or why aren't we open to that for more chronic illnesses? You know, one of the qualifications I did was actually more of a generic functional medicine health coaching qualification. And in functional medicine, they use testing and stuff to identify the root causes of all chronic illnesses. And they treat first and foremost with lifestyle factors and supplementation if necessary. They always say supplements are supplementary to the lifestyle factors first. So, yeah, I think there is this, and it's nobody's fault. It's just the way society has adapted to having the NHS, which is a great resource, but I agree, basically.
Love to hear from you here on The D Word. We're on social media at Radio DDW on Twitter, the Radio DDW Facebook page, where thanks to our production assistant, Angela, you find all sorts of useful information. And of course, you can email us at tdwradio@gmail.com. This week, I'm chatting to cognitive health coach Lindsay Byrne. One thing that strikes me is that with so many possible causes, it's sometimes difficult to see the wood for the trees.
Well, yes. So one thing that I've learned from all my training and working with the clients I see is that it is never one cause. I think our bodies and our brains are so resilient. If it was one thing, then we wouldn't get dementia because our bodies and brains would find a way of working around it. And so what I've seen so far with all my clients and from my training is it's usually a handful of things. So I already talked you through some of the contributors. And part of the protocol right up front is testing. So blood tests, quite extensive blood tests. And potentially, if you're up for it, DNA testing as well. And that can help you find all of the root causes. Now, so far, kind of the doctors I've been working with and the functional medicine practitioners I've been working with are able to sort of prioritise what they think we need to work on. Because, you know, if you have to do a lot of work in the protocol, it can be difficult for people to do all of it at least straight away. And that's where health coaching comes in, really. It's about helping people prioritise for themselves what they think is going to be an easy win, what can fit into their lifestyle easily, start getting them seeing some of the benefits that raises the motivation that means they can do more. But the practitioners I work with do sort of prioritise what they think are the biggest impact issues as well, so that if there's supplementation involved, they can give you a list of supplements you might need to take, but they'll put them in the order of, you know, do these ones at the top of the list. And if you can't, if you really can't bring yourself to do all of them, you know, start at the top and work down. So that's really helpful, because you're right, it is always lots of causes, not just one.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I saw a little bit of some of the stuff you sent me. Mm. And I guess from one of your clients' point of view, the starting block is, as you put it, understanding where you are right now. Yeah. Because once you've done that, you can move forward. But I guess sometimes that's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things we do with my clients in my sort of process is to do a cognitive test. Now, I bet your listeners are familiar with the MoCA test and tests like that you do with the GP, where, you know, you have to draw a clock face and they give you an address to remember and then you have to recall it later on. That's quite a blunt test. I've met people who've passed that. They've gone to the doctor, they've been worried about their cognitive health. They've passed that test 30 out of 30, but they know there's something wrong. So we have a much more detailed online test that is much more extensive, and it tells you how your memory is, how your processing speed is, and also how your executive function is, so your ability to strategically think, to plan, to follow rules, etc. And it gives you scores for all of those, compared to people your age and gender. So it's a nice, kind of starting point that we can measure together. So over the time of the process that we work together, you can measure it again at the end. And even though you know you're feeling better, you can put a number on it. So that's one part of the starting point. But then, as already mentioned, there are blood tests and DNA tests to kind of say, these are the root causes for you, and this is what we're going to be working on. So it's a bespoke program. That's what I love about it. You know, if you think about the drugs that are available on the NHS for dementia, they tackle one cause or one symptom quite often. And a single drug therapy is not going to solve all the problems, is it? I mean, we learned this through HIV and AIDS. You know, that was the thing that actually worked was a multi-drug therapy. I think doing one thing is never going to work, and it's never going to work the same for everybody. If we've all got different causes, one drug is not going to solve the problem for everybody.
My guest this week is cognitive health coach Lindsay Byrne. And as happens many times on this show, our thoughts turn towards the thorny issue of post-diagnostic support, which continues to be frustratingly inconsistent.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we're few and far between. I was on a coaching call with my colleagues in the Alzheimer's specialism coaching group, which is a worldwide group, but again, most of them are in the USA, just yesterday, and I discovered there are four of us now in the UK, four health coaches with this RECODE 2.0 training. That just means RECODE is reversal of cognitive decline, and there are four of us, and it turns out I thought I was the first in the country, and I'm very sad to say that I found out I was the second. But yes, so we're all in contact so that we can work together and help each other. But that just shows how few and far between we are. And we're not available on the NHS. It is not an NHS-funded approach. So,
you know why that is? It seems strange to me. Again, going by what we were talking about a little bit earlier, about going down the drugs route all the time. Mm. it seems strange to me that something like this is not, you know, an NHS function.
Yes, and I really passionately hope that one day it will be. From my own point of view, from my own little inroads in, I've tried to speak to my mum's GP, who is actually the dementia specialist in the practice, and that hasn't gone very well so far. I have tried to get in touch with the NHS at a higher level, and I just don't know how to, who to speak to, or how to. If somebody out there is listening and it works at a very senior level in the NHS, please, please contact me through Pete and let's talk. I also tried to talk to the Alzheimer's Society, and their view is very much that the trials that Dr. Bredesen has done are so small that they can't go with it. They can't recommend it. And my response to that is, it's really hard. Well, Dr. Bredesen's response to that is, it's really hard to get funding for a trial like this because each person's protocol is so bespoke. You know, drugs trials, quite rightly, are take this drug or take a placebo, double blind, nobody knows who's taking which, so that we can test. And I mean, thank God for that. We wouldn't want drugs being released into the world with all their horrible side effects if they hadn't been thoroughly tested. But with this, it's really hard, first of all, to do this very bespoke protocol and then put someone else on a placebo. What would a placebo look like? So that's really hard to do. So he has done some trials. There has been, he's done a proof of concept trial, which I think is going to lead to a much bigger trial, where he has had 25 people on the protocol. And in that trial, 22 got better. One stayed the same and two declined. But I'll have you know, they declined at a slower rate than people either on dementia drugs or doing nothing. So I call that a success. And my view really is, you know what, if this is all lifestyle and just supplements, why wouldn't you just give it a go? Why wouldn't the Alzheimer's Society and the NHS say, look, it's not going to do any harm? In fact, the side effects tend to be other things clear up. So one of my clients, one of my newest clients, has just started the protocol with me, I'm going to say probably 6 weeks ago, and his pre-diabetes is already cleared up. His blood sugar levels are now totally in the normal range. So, you know, the side effects by, you know, having a really good diet and these other lifestyle factors are not going to do any harm. There's no sort of downside to it. So I would desperately love it if the NHS would pick this up and start advising it a little bit more strongly. Like I say, they do have lifestyle factors listed on their websites, both the NHS and Alzheimer's Society, around prevention. And they do even quote statistics. I think the statistic they quote is 40% of dementias are preventable with 12 lifestyle factors. And actually what we've found from Dr. Bredesen's research is it's a lot more than that.
I'm talking to cognitive health coach Lindsay Byrne about how it can be possible to reverse some of the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease by using lifestyle factors, which seems to me to fit perfectly with the NHS drive introducing social prescribing.
Absolutely. I mean, totally. And, you know, if I look at other institutions like the Multiple Sclerosis Society, I think I've named to them incorrectly, but I bumped into a lovely lady from that society recently at a health fair, and they are absolutely recommending lifestyle factors. They seem a bit more open-minded to it. So I really hope that both the NHS and the Alzheimer's Society pick this up really soon and start recommending these approaches. Make my job a lot easier as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I mean, you know, time's coming to a close. We'll have to wrap up shortly. But, I mean, your clients, how do they find you?
So I've been marketing as best I can. I've been on social media. All my friends and family are reposting things and trying to get the word out there. I have joined some dementia carers groups, not professional carers, but, you know, the family members who care. And I'm trying to get the word out there. I've got a Google ad. and it's taken a little while because I qualified in March. But initially, most of the people most of my clients were coming from sort of word of mouth, just friends and family or people I meet and talk to about this, then recommending people. But now, finally, I'm seeing people are actually responding to my ads and my social media content and getting in touch with me via my website to get a free guide that I send out. And we're kind of taking it from there. So that's really starting to pick up. So I'm very hopeful for the future with that.
Yeah, I think it's it's a great thing that you're doing, and I do hope that it gets much wider recognition,
particularly
in this country. It seems to have taken off a lot more across the Atlantic, which some things do. But thank you so much, Lindsay, for.
No, thank you. I really appreciate this time with you.
No, it's been great, and best of luck for everything that you do in the future.
UK Health Radio Podcast is the world's leading health conversation starter. 47 experts showcase all options of sickness prevention through lifestyle changes such as nutrition, reducing stress, sleep, breathing correctly, spending time in nature, meditation, fasting, as well as cultivating an attitude of gratitude and mindfulness. Our experts inform and animate you to take responsibility for your own health and well-being. You can choose from 42 weekly podcast episodes and be an active part of your health freedom. UK Health Radio Podcast, here for you and your well-being.